You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The National Federation of the Blind filed a civil action lawsuit against Epic Systems last month. What we know is Epic is the Verona-based electronics health records company. It is a business sponsor, by the way, of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about this lawsuit and what disability advocates are saying about workplace environments for people with visual impairments. Do you use a screen reader? Is most software compatible with it, or is that a reoccurring issue for you? Do you think Wisconsin has solid protections for people with visual impairments? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Eric Lawrenson is the Capital Times' tech and culture reporter. He also produces the Cap Times' podcasts, and he wrote about this lawsuit. Eric, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Well, break down for us what the National Federation of the Blind is claiming in this lawsuit.
Right. So the deal is that the National Federation of the Blind is claiming that because of the nature of Epic Systems software, or this group of softwares that sort of works together, and it sort of provides the backbone for hospitals, clinics, health systems around the country, they say that for healthcare workers trying to use that software on like the clinician side, the physician side of the equation, they aren't able to access that software if they are blind or if they have a visual impairment, because that side of the software, they say, is not able to integrate with screen reading technology, the technology that people who do have those visual disabilities, that's the technology they use to actually get information that sighted people get from a screen.
Yeah, explain how a screen reader works. What is a screen reader?
Yeah, so it's basically technology that gets that information to a person who cannot see that information on a screen in a couple of ways. It can either translate text into speech, so a person can choose to sort of hear this robotic voice basically read out information aloud to them, or it can actually send information to this thing called a refreshable braille display, which is this neat little device that basically uses little pins that pop up to translate text into braille. So basically it's all about taking language that a sighted person would otherwise just read on a screen and basically translating it into some other form of language that a blind person would typically use to engage with that.
Do we know how widespread this software is among health systems and what it does exactly?
Yeah. So Epic Systems is huge. They are a market leader when it comes to electronic health records. And in terms of what exactly that means, electronic health records, at a time it just meant, really rudimentary, like just basic data information about the health of a patient and that kind of a thing. Over time, companies like Epic have come to design all kinds of software that really cover almost every aspect of what needs to happen in a modern health care facility at a digital level. So anything from, processing lab work to bills to, again, those same old patient records.
Oh, so it's not just one piece of software, but migrating across a system.
It's a whole
that's all
system.
Completely integrated.
It's, yeah, an integrated system of softwares. That's correct. In terms of how widespread it is, so in the global market, Epic has just shy, I believe, of 10% of the, of the global market, according to industry reports. In the U.S., it's somewhere around like 20 to 22% of all hospitals, healthcare systems are using Epic systems. That number changes based on, once you kind of drill down into the different kinds of clinics and healthcare facilities that, of course, exist in the U.S. But yeah, it's huge. It's a market leader. It's very, very common. And odds are actually that you may very well have your patient records stored by Epic Systems.
We're talking with Eric Lawrenson. He is the Capital Times' tech and culture reporter, talking about a lawsuit that is being in Massachusetts courts right now, where the National Federation of the Blind is challenging Epic Systems with its software, saying that it does not comply with screen readers and therefore people with visual impairments are unable to use the software. How do you feel? 800-642-1234. do you use a screen reader? Is most software compatible with it, or do you have issues there? Do you think Wisconsin has solid protections for people with visual impairments? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can go ahead and email ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Eric, do we know how Epic has responded to this lawsuit?
Yeah, we do. I mean, they've, members of the press have, of course, reached out to them, and they have given a very brief statement saying that they are incredibly supportive of any employees of their clients that do need this kind of screen reader technology. They have also pointed out that in some aspects, they are accessible. For example, any content that they would post on a web browser, or any, you know, parts of the software that's on a web browser, they follow these things called web content accessibility guidelines, which are basically these standards that have been put out there for making online, you know, web browser-based content accessible. So they're saying, like, in some ways, we've been really making sure that we've been meeting some standards of accessibility. In terms of what they've said in court filings, they have said, like, yeah, we're disputing this case, although they haven't really gone into much depth about what it is that they're disputing about the merits of the case. Interestingly, though, in some court filings, they have acknowledged that, to some degree anyway, their healthcare software is not independently accessible for blind persons. They haven't really commented on to what degree and what specific places that accessibility may be lacking. But it's interesting. They are disputing the case. They're fighting this, but also they do acknowledge that to some extent here they're.
And why is this taking place in a Massachusetts court?
Yeah. So in 2017, there was actually another case filed by the Federation of the Blind on dispatch of a hospital dispatcher who is blind and who could no longer do his job because of this lack of screen reading technology. This was a hospital that was using Epic. And this was a lawsuit just on behalf of one specific worker unable to do their job, and that was settled on undisclosed terms. But my understanding is, based on, you know, having talked with some folks over at the Federation, that, you know, the fact that they have this clear record of, like, you know, healthcare workers in Massachusetts experiencing this, that was sort of laid the groundwork, I guess, of a case in that jurisdiction.
And why did the company want to take the suit to federal court?
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, there is a whole process for doing this. It is called removal, when federal courts remove a court case from a state court system into the federal courts. Technically, it has to be a thing where the damages being sought are, like, a high amount, and when there are parties from different states. So it's kind of an interstate case, even though it's, you know, ultimately a question of one state's laws. As for why Epic is arguing that, yeah, we meet these standards for removing a case to federal court, we want to do this in federal court, I mean, we don't know. Like, conventionally speaking, there are reasons that typically get thrown out there for why a company might want to do this. For example, its attorneys may be really familiar with the federal court system and not so much the Massachusetts court system. Also, there is this kind of legal lore that state courts favor, you know, the home team. Like, they may have some sort of bias toward ruling in the favor of a company that exists in Massachusetts. I don't know to what extent there's evidence for that, but that's kind of the perception that I've heard out there amongst attorneys.
Has Epic thrown out any figures at how much it would cost to reconfigure its software and make it more compatible?
They have thrown out not a monetary figure, but in one court filing filed by Sumit Rana, who is a vice president with Epic, he indicated that it would take thousands of work hours to actually make this software compatible with what it seems like the Federation of the Blind is saying this, where the software needs to be at.
But this is a large company, too, that has a lot of resources, a lot of money. And, you know, you'd think that that would be something that could be done. It's technology, right? And technology is updating all the time.
Yeah. I think that, the Federation of the Blind would agree with you there. they say that that it is a point of frustration for them that they do see in certain aspects of what Epic has done, again, you know, when it comes to their web content, for example, to some patient-facing sides of their software, there is accessibility. They have met these standards of, you know, being able to integrate with screen reading technology. So they say, why not do that for the rest of the software? Where is this accessibility for everyone who's using the software?
Well, let's look at where this case goes next. How do you expect the case will shape up? What happens next?
That's a good question. I will say that the Federation of the Blind has a long history of filing these kinds of lawsuits in state and federal courts over all kinds of questions of accessibility, including questions of software accessibility. Oftentimes, they've ended in settlements that result in the party being sued, adjusting their business model, their software, what have you, to improve that accessibility. So, I mean, it's really hard to look into a crystal ball and know what's going to happen here. But, I mean, certainly the Federation has done this before, and they have a track record of, to some degree, some success anyway.
And there's some type of February 1st next step in this case, apparently.
Yeah, so basically where we're at is that a judge needs to rule on the removal of this case to a federal court. And in the meantime, yeah, we're kind of in stasis. There's also a February 1st deadline in which Epic kind of needs to also decide what it needs to do in terms of like the state lawsuit that was filed.
Well, Eric, thank you for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Eric Lawrenson is Capital Times tech and culture reporter. When we come back, we'll hear from the head of the National Federation of the Blind, and we welcome your questions and thoughts on being visually impaired in the workplace. Do you find the technology is keeping pace with the job opportunities for people with visual impairments? 800-642-1234. We'll get back to the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Assistive technology has removed many barriers to jobs for people who are visually impaired. Employees with vision loss can continue to work and pursue careers alongside their sighted counterparts. We're checking in on how job sites are doing in light of the Epic Systems lawsuit. The Verona Health Records Company is being challenged in a Massachusetts court over the accessibility of its electronic health record software. Do you use a screen reader? How are job sites doing with assistive technology? Is the technology keeping up with what is used on the job? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Mark Riccobono is president of the National Federation of the Blind. That's an advocacy group based in Baltimore. And he also grew up in Milwaukee. Mark, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So why did the National Federation of the Blind file this suit against Epic Systems?
Well, to put it very plainly, the biggest barrier that blind people face in the 21st century is low expectations about our participation in society and what our role is. You know, we believe that blindness is not the characteristic that defines somebody or their future. And we're working to raise expectations on a daily basis. And one of the very critical areas that we work on is access to employment. And the biggest barrier, one of the biggest barriers in the employment realm today is technology. And it's a frustrating challenge because it's not that the technology can't be accessible or that no one's figured out how to make it accessible or that there's some magic formula that we're waiting for. We already know how to do this as a society, but the expectation is not yet well enough established that when you roll out software and you sell software, you deploy it in employment settings, it's going to be accessible to everybody from the beginning.
are companies pushing back on that at all when they buy this software? Do you see a changing workplace out there or not?
Oh, that's a great question. So, you know, we have obviously been working with employers to let them know they have an obligation to their blind employees to make sure their workplace technologies are accessible. And they're in a difficult spot because, of course, they have the employment obligations. And many employers say, yeah, we want to hire blind workers, but we can't get software that is accessible, or we didn't ask for it. So we have found more and more employers, and by the way, not just employers. We've been pushing on this in the university setting as well, where technology has the same impacts, are starting to write into their RFPs, into their contracts, if you deliver software to us, it must be accessible. And in some places, the smart organizations are saying, if you promise us accessibility and you don't deliver, you're liable for those costs.
What does the Americans with Disabilities Act impact this at all? What does it say about this? And is there any implications there?
Well, of course, the Americans with Disabilities Act, you know, covers many aspects of this, certainly puts obligations on the employers to make sure that they're implementing technologies that are accessible, but also on the companies that are producing these products, like Epic, because their products are used in public-facing ways, say, individual patients that might go to hospitals and need to use records. In this case, though, we're bringing the case in Massachusetts because Massachusetts has laws that speak to implementing systems that disadvantage entire classes of individuals. And in this case, that is our claim, that Epic is instituted technologies that systemically discriminate against blind people.
I see. So that is why this case is being heard in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and there are other states that have similar state laws of that type. And I think there's still a lot of misunderstanding on behalf of technology developers and for that matter, employers, about where the obligations are, especially in this 21st century. But the problems we're talking about here are not new ones. Blind people tend to get caught in the middle of these situations where people really aren't thinking about including us in society. So a good example is years ago now, we worked on the accessibility of ATMs. And the bank said, well, we've looked around. We can't buy accessible ATMs from anybody. And the manufacturers of ATMs said, well, the banks never request accessible ATMs, so that's why we don't make them. Well, come on. Blind people are part of the society. They're going to be part of the society. This has to be built in from the beginning. It's the right thing to do. It's the smart thing to do. And we believe that the law also directs that it happen.
We're talking with Mark Riccobono, who is president of the National Federation of the Blind, talking about accessibility for people with visual impairments in light of a lawsuit brought by the National Federation of the Blind challenging Epic Systems software, its electronic health record software. What I'm hearing, Mark, here is a lot of finger pointing between industry to industry there. Is this something where our laws could be strengthened in some way?
I guess to some extent the laws can always be strengthened, but we believe that the laws are pretty clear in two ways. One is just using the Americans with Disabilities Act as an example, although that's not really at the heart of this particular case. You know, the Americans with Disabilities Act was first passed in 1990, and Congress did not intend that that view of full inclusion for people with disabilities was only based on as the world was in 1990. Congress intended that this was a standard and a standard going forward in a society that's going to continue to evolve. So one question that often comes up that we're in the middle of is whether the internet is a place of public accommodations under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now, there are those who say, well, it's not specifically in the law. We have fought battles many times and won in the courts to say that it is. And I'm sure everybody listening who probably already in their day has interacted with the World Wide Web three or four times, even before they got their cup of coffee, knows that to say that the internet is not a critical place of public accommodation in 2019 is just silly. To shut people with disabilities out of that because it was not those words were not specifically written in 1990 is a really short-sighted view of what we intend for full participation, and it speaks to how we view people with disabilities in our society.
In the last few seconds we have with you, what do you hope comes of this suit?
Well, two things. We want to educate people that blind people want to work. We're ready to work, and we're just held back by artificial barriers. The second thing is we know how to fix these technology problems, and we want companies to make it a priority, pay attention, and we want employers, universities, others who buy this software to require accessibility of the vendors they're buying it from. And I think by all of us working together, we're going to innovate some great technology, and we're going to get more blind people into the workforce, and that's going to be a win-win.
Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Mark Riccobono is president of the National Federation of the Blind. EPIC declined our request for an interview, but they did send us the following statement. We value, respect, and support our customers, employees who use screen readers and other assistive technologies with EPIC and other vendor software to do their jobs every day. We assist our customers as they tailor specific workflows and utilize assistive technologies to support their employees with disabilities. We also design, develop, and test end-user facing functionality released in our web-based platform using web content accessibility guidelines. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.